Hello, Mage fans. This is Adam Simpson speaking to you for Mage the Podcast, and I would like to talk today about published adventures for Mage the Ascension and also drop some ideas for writing your own adventures. So this is an episode that may appeal more to new Mage players or players that haven't been active for a while than it will to people who are currently running their own Chronicles. But first, I'd like to do a little bit of, I guess you could say, house cleaning. I spoke in early July on Mage the Podcast about Paradox and tried to discuss some of the rules concerning that and some ideas for using Paradox in your own Chronicles. And there were a few things I did not mention. I forgot to mention the idea of making paradox flaws, something that the players have more control over during the game. I said that earlier editions seemed to indicate that players would opt to take a flaw or just wait until it built up and they got a paradox backlash and let the storyteller handle the details for that. Now, one thing I did forget to mention during that discussion was an idea that storytellers can use with their players is when a mage in the world of Mage has paradox energies building up inside his or her body. It does say in the rule books that the mage feels that. Somehow they sense that. And of course, it's not going to be exact numbers for the mage. It isn't going to be 1 point or 2 points. It's just going to be some or more or an incredible amount. And storytellers can let their players decide to meditate and bring that paradox energy up to the surface and release it. And so the mage, while meditating, if they succeed on their meditation roll, then they could, the player could choose to release one or two or three points of paradox, and that way reduce the chance of a nasty backlash later and take a lesser paradox flaw at that time. And I never did see that in any of the editions of Mage spelled out how a player can role play the scene where they want to actually choose a paradox flaw instead of letting things build up. So I thought a meditation roll would be a natural way to handle that. Also, in that discussion on paradox in July, I spoke about mundane paradox versus wild paradox. Mundane paradox would be temporary deafness or a broken arm, while wild paradox would be your skin turning blue or your arms turning to rubber or something, really quite strange. Now, after I gave that discussion on paradox, I had the rare opportunity to interview Dr. Anders Sandberg on Mage the Ascension. And during that interview, he shared with us what he wanted to do in his games, and that was neither mundane paradox nor wild paradox. It was something different. It was the third option of subjective paradox. And the example he gave was after getting a paradox backlash from using the correspondence sphere, the mage would manifest a paradox flaw where, in this case, she looked normal to everyone else, but whenever she was in her own home, she was completely disoriented. She could not tell which direction was the bathroom or the bedroom or the kitchen, and she would get really quite lost just trying to walk between rooms in her own home. But other people who came to her home would experience it as a very normal apartment or house or whatever. So for other people, everything's fine and everything's normal, and they can't understand why this mage is getting so confused just trying to walk from one room to another. But to that mage who is experiencing the paradox flaw, it's just total confusion. And as soon as she leaves her home, then the world is normal again. And so a storyteller could make that a temporary paradox flaw that goes away, or make it a permanent paradox flaw. And if it's permanent, it's not as bad as you might think because the mage can simply move from that home to a different home, and the new home, everything would be normal there. So, another idea to use in your chronicles for Paradox. And speaking of Dr. Anders Sonberg, who once ran the Anders Mage page back in the 1990s, I have full permission from him to reprint pieces from Anders Mage page. And so I'm currently working on a project to take all of that material that was written by Dr. Sonberg and friends of his and other Mage fans back in the 1990s and make that available to people nowadays. So if you go to mage.gearsonline.net, you will see a very small and simple page with a link to Anders Mage page 2.0. It is not complete. In fact, I have less than half of the material up, but it is a working preview. A lot of the links will work if you click on them. So I invite those who are curious to go to mage.gearsonline.net and follow the link to Anders Mage page 2.0. Take a look around, see if that interests you, and if you have a problem on that or any questions concerning that, you can certainly let me know. And we'll talk about how you can get in touch with Mage the Podcast at the end of the episode. Now, for today, I want to move into the topic of story or adventure writing for Mage the Ascension. I got an emailed question from a listener to Mage the Podcast with questions on how to write adventures, where he could find pre-published adventures. He just had a lot of questions on that. He really wasn't certain how to get his own game started, and he had a background with a fantasy role-playing game. And those of you who are familiar with fantasy role-playing games know that a lot of those games publish adventures that you can purchase, and they have NPCs, enemies, maps, all sorts of information you need to run the adventure at home. And so he was expecting more of that for Mage, and he wanted to know how he could find that. So I'm going to talk about the published adventures that I have seen for Mage the Ascension. And after that, I have one possible method for writing your own adventures, which will probably appeal more to people who have not run a lot of adventures so far for Mage the Ascension. So, first off, the first edition of Mage was a paperback core rule book that was somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 or 300 pages. And that had a short adventure at the back of the book. And a lot of people who picked up later editions of Mage had heard about that, but they weren't really certain. I see questions on message boards from time to time. Hey, what was in that first edition core book adventure? Was it any good? And I can tell you, after having read through it this week, that it's not really something worth worrying about. What I mean by that is, it was a short adventure at the back of the book that was meant to give a quick start for people who had just picked up Mage the Ascension and wanted to play something right away. It was meant to lead into a larger, more detailed adventure that was published soon after in the book titled Loom of Fate. Now, they claim in the back of the first edition book that you can play this now, and when Loom of Fate comes out, you can pick it up and continue the adventure there. When Loom of Fate was published, it rewrote all of the material that appeared in the back of the first edition core book, which basically invalidated it. So, if you pick up Loom of Fate, then there is no reason to look at the short adventure in the back of the first edition core book. So, next up, Loom of Fate was one of the earliest books published for first edition, and it was a adventure or story, I guess I should say, for Mage the Ascension. And although it was written in the early days of first edition, even if you're playing Mage 20 now or any other edition of Mage, there's nothing to prevent you from going over to Storyteller's Vault or DriveThruRPG.com and purchasing a PDF or even print on demand, and running that for your own players. I really like the adventure. I thought it was very clever. It is constructed like a Swiss watch, and what I mean by that is a lot of detail was given to making sure that every scene can flow nicely into another scene. There's really no worries for a storyteller when running this adventure. If your players are aggressive, they can follow through the adventure and reach the conclusion nicely. If they are very cautious, still, they're going to do fine. If the players basically fall on their face and make a terrible mistake and get captured by the enemies, there are solutions written right in so that the adventure is not over. They can continue through the adventure really with no trouble. So, if you are a new storyteller or wondering if you've got what it takes to run a session of Mage the Ascension, then I recommend picking up Loom of Fate because it's interesting, it is well constructed, and as far as I can tell, regardless what the players do, the storyteller has the tools to get them through the adventure, and there's no need to call it off or drastically rewrite things if your players do something you weren't thinking of. And in terms of converting it to later editions of Mage, there's really not much conversion to do. It's not very full of special rules or NPC stats. The statistics that are given for NPCs in that book convert, I would say, almost seamlessly to later editions. There's really no conversion you would need to do. I think it would run as written quite well. And of course, if you do have any problems with that, something I haven't thought of, then please let us know, and I would be happy to help you through any troubles you have with that. After Loom of Fate, soon after that, Book of Chantries was published. And although that was a supplement for adding Mage Chantries to your Mage Chronicles, it did have a short adventure in the back. And that was an interesting adventure, but not one of my favorites. It was written to be a piece in a larger set of adventures that were being published in different game books for World of Darkness, and it deals with the villain called Samuel Hayt, who first showed up in vampire books, later showed up in werewolf books, then he shows up in Book of Chantries, and finally he shows up in the next book I'm going to discuss, which is Chaos Factor. That is a mage supplement, and the whole book is one large adventure for a crossover adventure for mages, werewolves, and vampires to deal once and for all with the ominous threat of the villain Samuel Hayt. But getting back to the adventure in Book of Chantries, it does have some interesting NPCs, some interesting creatures that you could add to your Mage Chronicles, but I don't highly recommend it as an adventure for you to run for your own players if you're new to Mage, because it suffers from what we role players call railroading. Railroading is a term in adventure writing for tabletop role-playing games. It means pushing the players into doing things that they do not want to do. It also means preventing them from doing things they want to do. Basically, it's a bad thing. When you've got a railroad, you've got a situation where the players' choices don't matter. Certain things are going to happen. They're going to go to certain places and deal with certain situations and get certain outcomes, no matter what they want or no matter what they try to do. This is not a good thing for players. They often feel frustrated and unhappy. So the adventure in the back of Book of Chantries presents you with a situation where a villain comes to a tradition chantry and causes trouble, and the players are on hand to help out. But unfortunately, the way the adventure is written, regardless what the players do, the outcome is always going to be the same. The villain is going to cause certain problems, the villain is going to escape, and if you change any of that, which I actually would recommend to an experienced storyteller, but for a new storyteller, you've got to rewrite the adventure to make it worth running. So I don't actually recommend that. But your opinions may vary. If you disagree, please let us know at Mage the Podcast. We'd like to hear about it. Now, a moment ago, I mentioned the adventure book published for Mage. This was still back in the days of first edition, and it was called Chaos Factor. That is a larger book that is just one large adventure that was written really as a crossover adventure. You can run it for vampire characters, werewolf characters, mage characters, or a mixture of any of those groups. And I read through it this week, and I would have to say I like the adventure, but I don't recommend it to new storytellers, perhaps not even to experienced storytellers, because it suffers from the same trouble as the adventure in Book of Chantries, and that is railroading. The way the adventure is written, the villain is going to accomplish certain goals in a certain sequence, and regardless what the players decide to do, they are just not going to change that. And at the end of the adventure, there's a final showdown with the villain, and as written, it says, "Hey, let your players fight the villain, and if they beat him, that'll be a great victory, and they'll feel happy. And if they don't beat him, well, there's this accident, and the villain dies anyway. So regardless what anyone does, there's going to be a fight. The villain is going to die, and the players' decisions are not going to change much of what's going on there." So if you pick up a Chaos Factor and want to run it, I recommend rewriting it. And if you're a new storyteller, you probably want to run an adventure as it is instead of trying to rewrite the thing and fix problems with it. So I would not recommend Chaos Factor. Next, there was a supplement, still for a first edition of Mage, called Digital Web. That was a supplement that detailed a special computer realm called the Digital Web. Which was sort of half Umbra, half Internet. Really a very interesting supplement for Mage. I recommend it. And I think it was a hit with fans because not long after Digital Web 2.0 was published. So there are two supplements for this. Now, the first supplement had two adventures in it. First adventure was called Tale Recursion. The second one was called Deus Ex Machina. And although short adventures, I really liked them, and I would recommend them for people who are looking for published adventures to run for their own players. The first adventure, Tale Recursion, basically talks about a request for help from a tradition mage to the player group. They are asked to enter into a paradox realm where a tradition mage has been swallowed up because of his own mistakes, which caused paradox. And so the players are asked to sort through that chaotic paradox realm, find the mage. Once they find him, they can't simply hold his hand and walk him out because they have to help him understand the problem that has him locked up in that paradox realm. And once they help him to see his errors, then the problem will be resolved and the NPC and the characters will be out of that paradox realm. And I really like this adventure. I thought it was fun, it was creative. It doesn't focus on combat and overcoming enemies, but there's still options for combat in there if you want to add some in. And I think it does a good job of reinforcing some of the more interesting themes in Mage, how to deal with pride, how to deal with paradox and the nature of being a mage in the modern world. Very nice adventure. The next one, Deus Ex Machina, also from the Digital Web supplement, deals with raiding a construct, which is a technocracy chantry for Iteration X. That is one of the conventions, one of the groups inside of the technocracy. And although most people would consider raiding a technocracy construct a very dangerous sort of undertaking, which is only suitable for a large group of mages or for mages who have become more powerful by spending experience points, I think this adventure is still well written and still appropriate for beginner level characters because it deals with a smaller, newly established construct for Iteration X where they are running a special research project, and they don't know how well it will succeed or how long it will last, so security is light. And I think it's both interesting, it's action-packed, and it's very easy to add an interesting moral dilemma for the characters at the end of that adventure. So I really liked it. If you're looking for a published adventure, it's hard to go wrong with Tale Recursion or Deus Ex Machina inside of Digital Web for first edition. And again, there's really no worries that I can see for converting those to later editions of Mage. The information that is in there carries over quite well to later editions. Although the rules run differently, character statistics, strength and a skill level of 3 in firearms, for example, these are very, very similar between the four different editions of Mage. So I don't think you're going to run into trouble there. After that, the only adventure I know about is written for Manifesto Transmissions from the Rogue Council. That was a supplement for Revised Edition Mage. That was the third edition of Mage. It was a short adventure, and started reading through it, but I saw that it focuses on the setting changes that were made just for Revised Edition of Mage. There was a phenomenon occurring in Revised Edition called the Avatar Storm, which made it very difficult and dangerous for mages to go from the regular world to the Umbra and back again. And so the adventure revolves around that particular detail of a revised setting. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for first edition or second edition, and the way a lot of people are running Mage 20, I don't think it even applies very well to that. So I'm not going to spend a lot more time talking about that adventure, but it is out there. When you look through the published supplements for Mage in second edition and for most of Revised and so far for Mage 20, we don't see that many published adventures. It was mostly at the early days of first edition where we see those published adventures, and I don't have a real good answer on why that is the case, but I get the impression that a lot of Mage fans enjoyed writing their own adventures and weren't really feeling a need for published adventures to get their own chronicles started. But hey, if you would like to get some help there, I have listed the adventures to take a look at, and hopefully you'll enjoy those as much as I did. Now, with the time that's remaining to me in this episode, I'd like to give some advice for adventure writing for people who are just returning to Mage after a lot of years being out of practice, or for those who are new to being a storyteller for Mage the Ascension. I have spoken with a number of people who look through published supplements for the World of Darkness and also specifically for Mage the Ascension, and they see a very complex, detailed setting full of different enemies and allies and factions and historical notes and special jargon, and they begin to feel lost, and they start to wonder, well, where do I start? I mean, how do I handle all of these different elements? And I think it's important to keep in mind something that I call the subtractive method. The subtractive method is basically a fancy term for the idea that you don't have to use everything. When you approach Mage the Ascension, you should basically look at it as a list of options. And before you plan your own chronicle, you need to decide what you're going to use and what you're going to leave out. I think the best advice is to focus on what interests you and don't feel like you have to worry about the rest of it. Okay, I'm going to give a method for adventure planning that I hope will be useful for you. This is only one method. There are many of different ways you could approach this problem, and I'd even like to hear about how some of you listeners out there plan your own adventures. For me, I'm just going to hit the high points so that those who have never planned an adventure before have at least one method that they can try. When I am giving advice to new storytellers for Mage, I ask them to start by choosing an opponent, some sort of enemy or villain that you want your players to fight against, or choose a place in the Mage setting that is interesting for you. Now, when choosing an opponent, it can be one single enemy who has, plans to cause a lot of harm, and the players are going to learn about those plans and do what they can to stop them. Or it might be a group that has been causing problems for a long time, and it's finally time to set things straight. There are a lot of options there. So many supplements published for Mage. There are a lot of different factions, a lot of different possibilities in Mage for your enemies. And as for places that interest you, it could be places in the real world, like a remote area of the Congo on the African continent, or an interesting Pacific island that does not appear on any maps. Or you could focus in on some of the magical places of Mage, such as the digital web, or the Umbra, or there's all different sections of the Umbra, or different horizon realms of specific Mage factions. A lot of people really focus in on some particular place that just fascinates them. They keep thinking about it, and they would love to see an adventure run there. And so, step two is think about an interesting ally, some individual or group that is going to help out your players and just add interest to the adventure. It can be an individual or a group that is going to supply information or supplies or a place to hide or actually give combat support, maybe even rescue the player characters if they get captured by the Technocracy or Nafandi or some other group of villains. This should be an ally that the players don't know much about, they have no experience with, and that makes them more interesting. Next up, think about theme and mood you would like to have for the story that you're going to run. Don't spend a long time getting real detailed with this, but just jot something down, and if it's vague, that's really not a problem. Next up, plan an opening scene. Think of some place where your players are going to start out and hear about how to get to this interesting place you've chosen, or hear about problems that are brewing with some group of enemies. And you can keep it vague at this point. You don't have to get really detailed because you haven't started running for your players yet. And at this point, I would say stop planning. Just jot down some notes of what you might do, and then put down the pencil or walk away from the keyboard because this is not time to write out a detailed epic. You don't even have your player characters yet. And that leads me to the next step, which is get together with your players and have them create their characters. At this point, you can give them some guidance on what kind of characters would work better, what type of characters would not work as well, because you have some idea in mind for where your story is going to go. And it's not a very detailed idea, but at this point, it really does not need to be. Now, once your players have got their characters created, then it's time to look over those characters and take some notes so you remember what are these characters good at, and specifically what spheres have they learned, what rotes do they like to use, what skills do they have. By looking at these things, also what talismans the characters possess when they start out. By looking at these things, you're going to understand what these characters can handle, also what their weaknesses are, what they're not so good at. You might have no character in the group that is a hacker or a technomage, and so the digital web is going to be a difficult place for them to handle. Also, once you have your player's characters done, ask yourself, do they knock out any options that you've chosen for opponents or allies? Like if you've got a mysterious group of Euthanatos mages who are going to give aid to the characters, and one of the characters makes a Euthanatos mage, well, okay, now it's time to rewrite your allies. So that's why you don't sink too much time into setting things up at the start. If there's still time in that first session after the players have made their characters, then run that idea that you have for a first session. Keep it light. It will probably be short. In my experience, character generation does take some time, and there's not a lot of time left in the evening for a long game session. Once that is done, before the next game session. You can have some planning on your own and look over the copies you've made of the character sheets for all the player characters. Get a more detailed idea of what are they good at, what are they not so good at. Now it's time to ask yourself if this adventure is revolving around the enemies they're going to face. Ask yourself, what would these enemies do if the players never showed up? If these enemies never came in contact with the players, what would be the enemy's plan? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to accomplish? How are they going to do it? Where are they going to do it? Answer questions like that. And if your adventure is focusing on an interesting place, then just ask yourself, what would happen in that place if the characters never went there? Now you have an idea of the scene that your players are going to step into. So now you should ask yourself, what do the player characters have that make them the right people to resolve this situation? This adventure that's going to happen in the interesting place, or this fight against the opponent, what do the players possess? What skills, talents, contacts, knowledge, etc.? What do the players have that make them the right people to solve this problem? Now you can sink some more detail into figuring out how your adventure is set up. Tailor it to the players is what I'm basically saying here. So that way your players can understand why they're the ones who are facing off against this opponent instead of letting someone more qualified do it. Because the players are qualified to do this. Now you're ready to envision the overall story. And one thing that people often like to do in mage games is add an ethical dilemma somewhere at the towards the end of the first story, some moral choice, and it's best to make this a difficult one. Should the players rescue a group of prisoners that the enemies are holding? If they do that, would that cause all kinds of problems for other people in the surrounding area? Give them a tough choice that they really have to think through. And from here on out, you are ready to run for your players, and between every two sessions, make sure that you are adjusting your story. So that your players' choices matter. You want your players to feel like they are making a difference here. And so if they do something totally unexpected or go off in a direction that you just didn't plan for, let them go ahead and do it for the remainder of that game session. Improvise a little and try to react to what the players are doing. And then in your planning session before the next game session, you can rewrite whatever you need to, plan out whatever you need to. And if you follow this advice as a new storyteller, then your players are going to feel like their decisions really matter. And what they are doing is something that the storyteller is paying attention to. And when they finally resolve the story at the end, they will really have a sense of accomplishment because they were the right cabal of mages for the job, and they got to go somewhere interesting or face off against an opponent that was really worth their attention. And they met some interesting people along the way, they made some tough choices, and they are starting to feel like they have their sea legs in the mage world of darkness. So that's my advice on one method for planning an adventure. There are other methods, of course, and I did have some other notes on adventure writing for Mage the Ascension, but I'm going to keep it short today, and I'd like to return to this topic in the future when I get a chance to. So, in conclusion, I would just like to encourage you to find us online at magethepodcast.com. You can listen to past episodes of the show and listen to your favorite episode again. You can follow us on Twitter at the Mage the Podcast, and please subscribe to Mage the Podcast on iTunes. If you enjoyed the episode today, then there are chances that other people would enjoy it too. And if you give us a review on iTunes, you make Mage the Podcast more visible for other people when they're doing their searches, and makes it easier for us to grow our audience. You can also find us online at Google Play and the TuneIn app. So please listen to us wherever you would like. It's nice to have options. So, on behalf of Mage the Podcast, signing off, this is Adam Simpson, and I wish you success with all of your Mage Chronicles, and please let us know about them in the future. Thank you. Good night.